In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This past Thursday, at Rowan University, a student fell from the top of a parking garage. This fall is widely believed to have been a suicide attempt. The last I heard, the student was still alive, but in critical condition. Three other persons have succeeded in taking their own lives in the past couple months at Rowan, in addition to seven other deaths in the campus community. It has been a trying semester at Rowan University, and Rowan is not unique in this regard. Hopelessness seems to be getting a lot of play on college campuses. Thursday night, I attended a community meeting at Rowan. The heads of security and wellness and the psychology department were all there, along with a dozen counselors lining the back of the room to meet with any students who were interested in talking about that day's events. There was a lot of anger and frustration in that room. There were pointed questions along the lines of, what are you going to do about this? And how are you going to stop this? There was an ugly mystery in the room. Why are people taking their own lives? And the students in the room wanted solutions from the top, right? They wanted answers and fixes. Now, when you and I were very young and we were hungry, most of us had parents who would prepare a meal for us and solve that problem, right? Or when we were cold, we had a parent who would wrap us in a blanket or dress us in warm clothes, anything to avoid pushing up the thermostat, right? When we were tired, our parents would help us to unwind and get some rest, maybe a nap or a good night's sleep. When we were very young and we faced challenges, it often seemed like our parents could fix things, right? Could make the world a friendly place for us again, a safe place. Students Thursday night called on their administrators to do the same things for them, and the administrators did not have satisfying answers. As I stood there with the counselors, I wondered how I might respond to this mystery if that was me in the hot seat, right at the front of the room with all eyes waiting for me to say something. What would I say? What does the Christian faith have to offer the mystery of hurting and death? I thought of how in times of grieving and crisis, Christians respond with values of community, meaning, purpose, and hope. At a student-led vigil on Friday, one speaker told the assembled crowd, Jesus loves you. And I kind of believe that, right? I agree, that's true. But what does that mean in a large group of people, many of whom probably don't know who Jesus is, what Jesus is about? Right, without any context, that phrase sounds to me awfully cheap and trite, kind of like thoughts and prayers from politicians who don't want to grapple with the issue of too many guns. It sounds like an excuse. The question at issue is, why do bad things happen? Even, and especially believers, ask, if God is opposed to evil, and God is almighty, then why does evil still exist? Why do we live in a world where bad things happen to good people? Why do governments still abuse and slaughter their constituents? Why are human beings trafficked for sex? Why do God and cancer coexist? Why do people we love die? Why do our children struggle with addiction? Why do our own bodies betray us with age and frailty and disease? Why is there a food bank on a college campus? And why do young people bursting with potential take their own lives? Can't God take care of these things? Isn't God supposed to take care of these things? So the book of Job is often said to be the oldest book in the Bible. And these are the questions that are asked in the book of Job. In fact, they're the questions that the entire Bible addresses. But the conclusion to the book of Job is deeply disappointing in my view, because I don't find there an answer to my question. Sometimes I feel like all I can do is relate to Job and Job's questions, because the answers are left shrouded in mystery. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's why Job is in the Bible, because all we can have some time are the questions. In our first reading today, we heard a promise. We heard a promise in response to the mystery of desolation. Right, the chapter before what we read this morning in Isaiah, in the previous chapter, Isaiah spoke at length of the traumas and the wars confronting God's people. Isaiah talked about the evil that they found within and without. They were surrounded. And even in the midst of that evil, God was hard at work preparing the way for something new. God was preparing a community. Remember those values that we as Christians bring to tragedy. God was preparing a community that could live with meaning and purpose and hope. Isaiah writes, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse." Right, here's a people who feel like they've just been flattened and cut off. And Isaiah says, "A shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." When Isaiah talks about Jesse, he's talking about the line of David, a king. A new king is coming, says Isaiah, and this king will be different from those who have come before. This new king, says Isaiah, will find his inspiration in the fear of God. This new king will exercise a judgment not based on the optics of the situation and how it will play. Judgment not based on rumors and lies, conspiracy theories and hearsay. Instead, says Isaiah, this new king will govern with integrity. He will give justice to the weak. He will pronounce judgment against the wicked. And when that kind of justice and that kind of reign becomes the norm, says Isaiah, then surprising things will happen. Unbelievable things will happen. The wolf shall live with the lamb. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Little children will handle poisonous snakes and be unharmed. No hurt, no harm will be done on all my holy mountain, for the country will be full of knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. This is the dream of God. This is the intention of God. This is the project of God. We sometimes call this description from Isaiah chapter 11 the peaceable kingdom. Maybe you've seen a painting or an image. It defies belief, doesn't it? That's why we don't have a photo, it has to be painted. It defies belief. This too is a mystery. I think that one of the reasons that adolescence is so hard is because that is when we begin to realize that our parents can't fix everything. Right? It's when our hearts get broken for the first time by a romantic interest, or we're fatally embarrassed by our changing bodies, that our parents, instead of actually doing something to help us and fix it, can only be with us in love and sympathy and solidarity. Thursday night, the frustration in the room was palpable as the university administrators confessed that there were no silver bullets. They had no technical fixes that they could make in order to solve the current crisis. Instead, they chose a difficult thing, which was to be present, to listen, to hear, to be with the students in support and sympathy and solidarity. The organizers of Friday night's vigil expected maybe a dozen of their friends to come out. But instead, well over 100 students were there in the cold, dark night. Many of them told their stories of their own suicide attempts or the losses that they had experienced of people close to them. They came out to be with one another, to offer words of comfort, encouragement, and solidarity. And so when God, the creator of the universe, responds to the injustice and the hurt and the desolation in the world, God doesn't wave a magic wand and instantly fix everything. Or at least God hasn't in my life. It appears that God's divine wisdom and love choose to respond by being present with us, right in the middle of the mystery of suffering and death, even death on a cross. Things like suicide and addiction, death and loss, these have no technical solutions. There are no quick fixes, or we would have already done them. But there are ways for us to respond to these mysteries. There are healing responses to the mystery of suffering. And those responses are all about community, about meaning, purpose, and hope. These are the values at the heart of the Christian endeavor. These are the practices of the church, the values that we seek to develop with holy habits like worship and prayer and service and fellowship. God, the creator of the universe, incarnate in Jesus Christ, is in our midst as we do these things. God is present. God is experiencing our pain with us, and also the mysterious healing that we encounter together in community. Advent is a time of expectation, a time of waiting for the inexplicable and unimaginable peaceable kingdom, waiting for that king that shoot from Jesse to come and to make things right. Advent is a time when God comes in mystery, assembling the building blocks of the peaceable kingdom in our hearts. Community, meaning, purpose, and hope. These are the signs of the kingdom, the work of God among us. Amen.
Amen.